Our study tonight is in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, discerning if we truly spiritually fellowship with God. There's a lack of spiritual discernment in many Christians today on what constitutes true fellowship with God, what can be illustrated in a tragic event that occurred with a cult in Guyana. Not until the mass suicide in Jonestown did many Christians even realize that something was terribly wrong with Jim Jones, the group's pastor. This problem also existed in the Apostle John's era. So in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, he gave objective evidences of true spiritual fellowship with God so that we might discern whether we truly fellowship with him as follows. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. "And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Okay, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3a, John wrote that we can know, and that's the present tense, gnoskamen, that we have come to know. This is the perfect tense, egnokamen. It's unfortunate in the English we can't translate this properly. It says, hereby we know that we know. Actually, hereby are we constantly knowing that we have once for all come to know him, which is an acknowledgement in a relationship with God. In other words, we have come to know God in our experience of the Christian walk. And there are tests, as suggested by John's expression in this, in tuto. And those tests, it's translated in the King James Version as hereby, or in the English Standard Version as by this. So John is giving us an introduction. We can actually know, we can actually come to know absolutely whether or not we are really fellowshipping with him, or we have come to know him as far as a relationship and we are fellowshipping with him. And he gives three tests in verses 4, 5, and 6. So what follows in 1 John 2, 3 through 6, are 3b through 6, are three test evidences of true spiritual fellowship with the Lord as follows. First, a believer experiences true fellowship with God only if he obeys God's word. Stated in the positive, John claimed that we know that we have come to know God on our walk if we obey his commandments. By application, this statement includes heeding all of God's word, for all of God's written revelation, which is scripture, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that a believer might be thoroughly equipped unto all good works. Let me just read that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. The word perfect actually means mature, thoroughly furnished. And thoroughly furnished is a passive perfect, once for all, completely equipped. Now, the word of God has a tendency to equip you. You don't have to work hard at it. It will equip you, and it will equip you permanently to do every good work. And it's not just some good works or most good works all of the time or all good works some of the time. It's all good works at any time. That's the tremendous value of the Word of God. Now, to make the point even stronger, in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 2, John stated it in the negative. He said, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And whenever John states something in the positive and then he turns around and states it from the negative view, he's trying to make it very, very strong. This is emphatic. So John stated the truth in the negative. If one claims he knows God in his walk, but he does not heed his word, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. So, in other words, the believer fellowships with God only if he heeds God's word. No exceptions. People should have been aware of this. Jim Jones, when he got down to Guyana, he took the Bible and he slapped it down on the floor and he stood on it and he said, "You need to listen to me, not to that." That should have been a wake-up signal to the believers. And there were believers there. And many believers, a number of them, probably several hundred of them, actually took the Kool-Aid and drank it and died with the suicide. But that should have been a warning signal to them. Any pastor who takes the Bible, slaps it down on the floor, stands on it and says, you listen to me and not that, that's a problem. That's where you get up and walk out. All right? But they didn't do that. So this is very, very important. The Word of God, there are no exceptions. We must fellowship with God. We must obey His Word. If we are not obeying His Word, we are not fellowshipping with God. The person may say things that are nice. The person may look good. The person may be very, very charismatic as far as his gifting is concerned, very winsome personality, but that doesn't cut it. If he's not obeying the Word of God, he's not in fellowship with God. Second, a believer experiences true fellowship with God only if he obeys God's commands so that this obedience translates into his having the love of God perfected in him. Verse 5, whoso keepeth his word in him truly is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So true fellowship with God, where the believer heeds God's word, leads to the love of God being perfected or made complete in him. What is explained in John's gospel at John chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. I'm going to turn to that passage because it's extremely important. John's gospel, John chapter 14, in verse 21, Jesus said, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Now, verse 22, Judas said unto him, this is not Judas Iscariot, but the other one, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The word abode means our dwelling. It doesn't mean house per se, but it means that God will demonstrate his presence in the believer's life. Now, this is very important. If we are truly obeying the word of God, especially in areas that come in the realm of motive, not just external stuff, but in the motive and so forth, it will demonstrate itself in seeing that the love of God is perfected in us. Now, the love of God is we will have a love towards God, but also God's love will be expressed towards us. We will see his hand at work in our lives on a very personal level and on a very rewarding level. That's true fellowship with God. God so loves it when his people obey him that he rewards them richly. So when they are obeying his word in truth, God exposes himself in their lives in a very rewarding way because he wants them to continue to keep obeying him. That's what obedience means to the Lord. So that's very important to keep that in mind. So consequently, God reciprocates the love expression, manifesting his love back to the believer in the believer's walk, what is a highly edifying, rewarding experience for him. I'll never forget one of the chapel periods we had when I was a student at Dallas Seminary. Dr. John Walvert, who was the president of the seminary, got up, and he was giving the delivery that day, and he said, gentlemen, there should be a constant miracle in your life. Every day you should see the Lord's involvement in your life in a wonderful, realistic way. He says, if that's not there, then you're not really fellowshipping with the Lord. So he said, that's what should happen. You should be obedient to the Lord in truth and heart, so that the Lord is actually interacting with you and giving you guidance daily on your lives. And that always challenged me in regards to that. And it's so very true with this passage. The love of God is perfected in him in his life. Third, a believer experiences true fellowship with God only if he lives like Jesus lived. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him, and abiding is a term we're going to find out in a little bit, is typical of fellowship in John's gospel, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, if you have your New International Version, they've taken the liberty to translate the he there as Jesus. The word Jesus does not appear in the text, although that's exactly who they're talking about Jesus as he lived in his earthly life. So, When John uses the term abideth in 1 John 2:6, he uses it in the same sense that he did in his gospel, John 15:4, to refer to fellowship with the Lord, abiding in the Lord, abiding in his word. So if a believer claims to fellowship with God, that one must walk as he walked. Ophele kathos ekinos prepataton kai autos prepatein. Autos is the word I'm focusing on. That's the he. The he in this phrase in the Greek text refers to Jesus, for in his earthly life he fully expounded the Father. If we go back to John chapter 1, verse 18, we see this is so incredibly true. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, or actually the only unique Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has exegeted him. That's exegeo is the Greek word, which means to exegete. He has led him out. He has demonstrated him in his life. Jesus also in John chapter 14 at the beginning, Jesus in verse 6 of John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me, but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied, or it suffices us. Notice verse 9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say then, show us the Father? So one of the reasons why Jesus came to the earth and he lived the life that he did, because he was living the life that demonstrates the life in the heart of God. If God the Father had come to earth, he would have done exactly the same things that Jesus did, because Jesus was doing all of the will of the Father. So what Jesus did, that's what you would expect the Father to do. So when you see Jesus taking the little children into his arms, putting them on his lap, and putting his hand on their heads and blessing them, that's exactly what God the Father would have done. If the Holy Spirit had appeared, the Holy Spirit had been doing the same thing. That's the demonstration of God. And Jesus was demonstrating the Father. So if we say that we fellowship with God, we must live like Jesus did. And I'm qualifying that as to righteousness. I want to explain why. We qualify the verb walk to mean aligning to righteousness because Jesus' culture and dispensation differed from ours so that some of his deeds we do not do today, and his calling different from ours, requiring differences in his services functions from ours. For example, in Jesus' culture, John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, Jesus turned the water to wine. All right, now this was wine that would have been watered down significantly. It might have actually been pure grape juice. We don't know. Now, there are many friends that I have in the Baptist church that are horrified when they see Jesus turning water to wine, because wine is seen as a real taboo. Well, it was a different culture that Jesus was in, but it was a wine that was unique and separate. Also, Jesus was in the dispensation. John chapter 2, verse 13, it says Jesus went to Passover. He went to Jerusalem for the Passover. We don't do that. We're in a dispensation of grace. So that's something that Jesus did that we would not do because we're in a different dispensation. And then Jesus' calling was different. In John 2, 15, Jesus picked up a cat of nine tails and he whipped people and he overturned the tables in the temple and so forth and chased people out. Well, Jesus was the Messiah, and he's also God come in the flesh, and he had the authority to do that. You and I don't. We can't pick up a cat of nine tails if we see something wrong in the church going beating people with it. That's what Jesus did. We don't do that. So when we say we have to live like Jesus lived, what we're talking about is the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ represented the righteousness of God. He obeyed the Father in everything. He represented the love of God. The faithfulness of God, the consistency of the Lord. So, we discern true spiritual fellowship with God by three tests. One must obey God's word without exception. He must have that obedience translated into seeing God's love perfected in his walk, and that he both loves God and heeds his word, resulting in God's manifesting his love to the believer in edifying ways in his life. And one must live the righteous life that Jesus lived. Any failure in these tests indicates a false spirituality. So may we believers heed Scripture And as we heed it, we should see God's love perfected in us as we both love and obey him and see him manifest his edifying love to us in our lives. And note that we are living in the righteousness that Jesus did in his earthly life. If we fail these tests, may we adjust so that we might fellowship with God. I was very encouraged by going through this lesson here tonight, because this afternoon there was something that had happened earlier in the day, and I was wondering if I had done that which was right or wrong. I couldn't figure it out, and I haven't even talked to my wife about this. I was just, it was just on my mind, and all of a sudden, right out of the blue, the Lord provided a verse in the book of Proverbs. And I was helping Nadine wash the dishes. She was washing and I was drying. It was at a point where I could take a break. So I went back to the room and I got my Hebrew Bible out and checked it. And sure enough, the truth was there, and it was very refreshing. And I was so grateful, because it let me off the hook and indicated, no, you didn't do anything wrong, Don. This is just something that's, this is a fact of life, and you're just functioning within the will of God. But it was so refreshing for the Lord to reveal himself, because it showed that I was in his word. But the fact that the Lord brought that passage to mind absolutely out of the blue, hadn't thought about that verse in a long time, was an act of his love. And that was really encouraging, because if the Lord is revealing his love in his life like this, then he's indicating to me that I am loving him at this point. And that was a thrill. And that's something I hope that I can have for the rest of my life. I want to see the Lord's interaction in my life. Sad to say, as I look back on my Christian life, there have been many times, and sometimes even years, where I didn't have that interaction with the Lord, and I wish I had. But now that we're getting into the Word more and seeing the Lord working in my life, and it's exciting to see that this occurs. So we have to keep in mind, there has to be complete obedience to the word, and then an obedience that translates into the love of God, where we love God and then God demonstrates his love to us in very personal ways, and then also walking like Jesus walked in terms of righteousness. If we do that, we have assurance from God that we're in fellowship with him, and then that brings joy and that brings peace. And would to God that every believer on earth fellowship with God. If every believer fellowship with God all the time, it would be a different world, a dramatically different world. But maybe we can, as a church, become a dramatically different church by constantly fellowshipping with the Lord. And it will be a church of righteousness, but also a church of love and joy that can really reach out and be a testimony to the world around us.